This is KWAI Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial. You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
After this show is over with and see what's out there. That's everybody coming and going today. I don't know if it's sport activities or what, but I want to go and see. And a lot of things happening and a couple things I'd like to talk with you about, but I'm going to hold off and share with you later on in the coming weeks. It's pretty exciting. So, and that's not a teaser. That's just a... letting you know that my brain is the little one that I have is being taxed. So again, this is not I told you so. I don't like to operate in that mode, and because it's just not the proper thing to do, even though it feels good to say it sometimes. But you know, we on the show, I had Eric Ryan, as you, some of you know or don't know, and a great many people wrote and sent emails saying you should never have had him on. He's going to cause you to lose your show. He's this. He's a lunatic. He's a ranting fool. You name it. If I'd have had names like that tossed to me in one bundle, I would say I would be somewhere hiding now seeking mental help. So I've invited, well, you guessed it, Eric Ryan to join me again. And the reason is, on the show, a couple times, and we talked about the state of affairs within the Republican Party. And as you know, a great many of them denied it and cried foul, and that Eric Ryan is a fool. And some of them actually told me, quoting them, that he was a fool and don't pay attention to him. And that raised my curiosity, because why on earth, if Eric Ryan had an insignificant role, I equate his role to the milkman. Why would they wish to assassinate the milkman when all he was doing was delivering milk, maybe occasional sour? But why circle the wagons and why protest? And as you may recall, some of you that did listen, and you can go to carolcox.com, carolcox.com, and hear what Eric disclosed. And basically, synopsizing it, he said that the Republican Party was in disarray, the local one now. Let me clarify that. The local chapter here on this island was in disarray.
That's right.
And they were financially strapped, and there was a threat of them losing their office, no hot water, and things of that nature. And my God, you should have heard the calls and the emails of the defenders. And you know, this show, is when I say show, this effort that I have here every Sunday morning is just to stimulate what we don't see or don't get told. We go digging so we see for ourselves, and I'll come back and share it with you. And that's why I've brought Eric in. And Eric wrote, now, right after the elections, Eric wrote a press release on November 4th, 2010, to the party itself, to the members in the party, and basically telling them that there were some problems, and we're going to post this up with his permission. It's still copyrighted and what have you, and it makes for an interesting reading, but carolcox.com, you can go there and read it. And we're going to take some of the excerpts. We won't call him deep throat. I'll just say it's a golden opportunity for us to see what is happening. And now, one disclaimer here is that while we will be talking about the Republican Party, let's understand there are a variety of Republican types, as well as Democratic Party members who are various types. They're the lazy ones, the sneaky ones, the cheating ones, the lying ones in the Democratic Party, and the ones that'll promise you things and give you nothing. And we have that here, and we have the worst state of affairs in Hawaii's history, I would assume, right now, and that has been at the hands and the dealings of the Democrat Party. So I don't want anyone to go away thinking that I won't talk about the Democrats, but if there's someone out there that is willing to serve in the capacity as Eric, that is in the party of the Democrats, please come forward and talk. But we're not having it. They've gotten a lockdown. But anyway, Eric, I've rambled. Thank you for joining me, and I want to, if you would, go again, introduce yourself, who you were and what you are. I use the term, who you were.
Yeah, well, it's getting small the list each day, it seems. Well, thanks for inviting me back, Carol. Yeah, I'm Eric Ryan, Republican consultant, advertising person, graphic designer, and former chief of staff to Councilman Tom Berg. Senior campaign consultant to the likes of Kim Pine and a host of others. And if you've read the news at all in the last few months, you know things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that hasn't changed is my very boisterous critique of the way the local GOP is run. Now, if anyone wants to know, well, why does that matter? It's pretty simple. There's really only one alternative to the Democrat Party, like it or not. There's really only one place you can go to in the Yellow Pages and find any organization that has a hope in Hawaii of possibly changing the direction of Hawaii. And it's not a party that's in third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh place. It's the party in second place, but a very distant second.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats have held power in Hawaii for so long, for so many decades, minus the blip of a very moderate Republican and almost a name only, Linda Lingle. Anything that you think should be reformed, anything that you think should be fixed, anything you think should be different by now, would have been done by now. That's how long they've had power for.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't like the way things are in Hawaii, think things can be done better, it would have been done by now if they wanted it to. So mismanagement, incompetence in the leadership of the Republican Party of Hawaii prevents us ever seeing any types of useful reform. So if you want to know why I'm motivated or others are motivated to try and fix the GOP and to blow the whistle on these things, well, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you like seeing newspaper headlines every day, worst education in the nation, worst roads in the nation, you know, increasing poverty, increasing homelessness, people have more 2-3 jobs to make ends meet, et cetera, et cetera. If you like that, then you certainly don't want to change anything. But if you don't like that, then you know where the blame lies.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's compounded by what I think we're about to get into here.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your November 4th, 2010, press release or letter to the party itself,
right,
the Republican Party, you demanded mass resignation of all Hawaii GOP leaders.
Right.
Demand for installation of interim leadership team until convention.
Yep.
Demand for full independent audit of state party finances.
Right.
Demand for repayment of funds looted
yep,
from the state party treasury.
That's true.
And it's given me that's why when you shared this with me, I thought, okay, if nothing else,
yeah,
I want to bring you back in because this is an insight that we didn't know, but they were denying.
Right.
And I, as I've always said, if someone challenges me on the facts and the truth, then I don't let it go. I don't get angry.
Yeah.
I have an obligation to the listeners and to myself. I come last. But I'm going back and seizing every opportunity to say, so Jonah Ka'avai,
right,
was the chairperson of the Republican Party Committee here.
Yeah, elected for a 2-year term in 2009. And then, to my astonishment, even after how poorly the party did last November and how bad the financials are, although the average person didn't know that, he was reelected to another 2-year term just a few months ago in May.
Now, so the listeners will know, I don't want to come across or suggest that you are here campaigning for the Republican Party.
No.
This is just straight talk. This is, you know, if they fall on their faces like they have.
Yes.
It's their business. If the Democrat Party sits there and successfully stay in power,
right,
and arrive at a decision where the governor can exempt himself from all laws and file secret proclamations,
oh, yeah,
you know, make George Bush look like my hero. You know, I want to send up balloons and,
yeah,
say, where are you, Uncle George and Mr. Cheney?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you taught these boys something bad.
Yeah.
So we're not campaigning for the Republican Party.
No, this would be like the news behind the news. If,
right,
you wonder why you read the things in the paper that you do, especially in the last few days,
right,
now you're about to find out why.
But now they're trickling it. The Republican Party, is trickling it out in a careful, packaged manner so everyone will go, revamping,
right,
house spring cleaning,
yeah,
when in fact,
yeah,
as you described to me, for example, and we'll get detail later, Gene Ward,
yes,
very prominent,
yes,
Representative Hawaii Kai, very prominent.
Right.
You hear him on TV or radio and whatever,
sure,
and he's very smooth.
Yeah.
And Gene Ward has been the chair, the co-chair or the vice chair.
That's right.
Of the party.
Yes.
Okay. So Gene Ward was responsible for bringing Ka'avai in, right?
Yes, he was.
Portion. And now he's hammering him to get him out.
That's really the joke. But so that we don't just laugh about the facts, repeating the facts is probably a very good idea. This past Monday, 1 week ago tomorrow, Jonah Ka'avai formally resigned as chair of the party. He did so most directly in response to a letter he got 1 week earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 2 weeks ago. Almost every other executive officer of the GOP here in Hawaii sent him a letter saying, Jonah, you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And what was really telling, and this goes to what you said a moment ago, Carol, about trickling out information, was one of the strongest statements they made in the letter, which I guess you might even get around to reading, that they wrote to Jonah, is we don't want this to get out in the public, how deep in debt we are. We don't want it to get out into the public, how bad things are. Now, this is a party run by people like Gene Ward, who went out of their way to deny for the last 10 months that things were as bad as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Pretend that you're a candidate for office. You're working your butt off. Your friends are helping you. Your family's helping you. All these volunteers, and you're working really hard towards Election Day. Suddenly, it's Election Day. You're a typical Republican in Hawaii. You're underfunded, undermanned. You probably got your campaign started later than you probably should have. And you're thinking to yourself on Election Day, it's now 5 minutes until 6 p.m. when they tell you the first printout of the votes. And you're like, God, I wish I had more time. I wish I had more time in this campaign.
Mm-hmm.
If I only had another month, if I only had two more months. In this case, 9 months transpired between our election debacle of last year and our financial crisis, and Jonah finally getting around to resigning.
Mm-hmm.
But I got news for you. Almost all the same people that were running the party then are still running it now, minus one guy.
Mm-hmm. And that's
Jonah.
Jonah. Now, Gene Ward, if you would, his history.
Sure.
He arrived here on the heels of Pat Robinson for president campaign.
That's
this
right.
Is where he get his rise,
right.
Which was religious base. Or
that's right.
I'm careful to call Pat Robinson.
No, that's fine. The year was 1987. Does anyone remember the 80s? Well, it was 1987. Pat Robinson was best known as host of the 700 Club
mm-hmm.
TV show, a religious show on every day. And Ronald Reagan had been president for 7 years, and everyone was wondering who's going to take his place. Well, of course, we all know ultimately his vice president, George Herbert Walker Bush, got elected, but there were many candidates that year, one of which was Pat Robertson, who wanted to run a very Christian, conservative, what the critics call right-wing campaign. But anyway, he was running a very aggressive campaign nationwide through the churches, organizing volunteers to take over party operations, things like that. But most, the way it affects Hawaii, and this is where Gene Ward comes into play, Hawaii that year did something it hasn't done in any year since. It did a straw poll before Iowa, before New Hampshire, before all the states where you find which presidential candidate's the strongest. They did a straw poll. Gene Ward arrived at the Republican Party about the same time I did. I was working for the Bush campaign. And he was co-chair of the Pat Robertson for Hawaii operation,
mm-hmm.
recruiting all of these people to show up and help take over the party, which is fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but a lot of those people, once they did their thing, show up at that straw poll to help Pat Robertson beat Bob Dole and beat George Bush and anyone else that was on that ballot, so that Pat Robertson nationally can make a splash by saying, I just won the straw poll in Hawaii. A lot of those people disappeared. And what's telling to me about Gene Ward is his decades of leadership in the Hawaii Republican Party as an elected official and as a party officer on and off over the years. And again, now, we can talk about it in a minute, I think he's actually the new chairman behind the scenes. But he has stood by and watched the party go into decline
mm-hmm.
all of these years. And now he's practically running things again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the reasons why you may have asked me about the way Gene Ward came on the scene is with Jonah and his group, which mm-hmm. was called Our Party, Our Ohana, was a religious-based group
mm-hmm.
which took over the Republican Party. It was Jonah, it was Lynn Finnegan, it was Dylan Nonaka, and a whole bunch of others, Gene Ward included. And their goal was to make same-sex weddings
mm-hmm.
the number one issue in 2010. They saw churches in Hawaii being this unexploited opportunity for votes the way that Democrats see unions as a possible place for votes. They thought, if we can just get these people excited enough to turn out to vote, it's going to be great for Republicans. Well, I'm sorry, Duke Iona, who was their spear carrier at the top, lost by 17 points.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got people like Gene Ward and Jonah and Lynn Finnegan to thank for that.
So Jonah declares that Iona was a righteous one.
The only one.
The only one.
Yes.
And Iona had his own baggage. Thank God that he didn't have to pay for each baggage. He'd be bankrupt now in the airlines. Lots of baggage is going to convert people over to for God and the language for God.
Yeah.
So you have two people that have been on the top.
Right.
Gene Ward.
Yeah.
Jonah Kavai.
Yeah.
Kavai. And now you have Beth Fukumoto, who
right.
works for Gene Ward. Gene
That's
Ward
right.
is upset with Jonah to some degree that
right.
he's too much religious juice involved, but Gene Ward would know better because he is really, his foundation is based on religion.
Yes.
And so that's the other question. How did the religious groups infiltrate the Republic? Because the Republicans that I know,
yes,
they don't mix religion
right.
with politics.
Yes.
They're just too intelligent to know that you can't do that. You can't
right.
take God and then say, okay, God, make everything right,
yeah.
and then hand it off to a politician.
Yeah.
It just
yeah.
they know better.
Well, maybe back in the 50s,
yeah.
you might have succeeded.
Right.
But in this current market, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And Gene Ward should know better. And as you said, Beth Fukumoto, who nobody knew before last year, but she was a candidate for State House, I believe, up in Mililani.
Was my
yeah, you're part of town. She was a candidate.
Right.
And now is she saying she's not going to be a candidate again? She's not going to have a conflict of interest of being a party officer and a candidate? Spare me, because I've seen this happen for decades, where these people get in there and they self-deal. Now, back to your question about how you take over the party.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one of the most poorly kept secrets in town. On the Republican Party side, you just need to find a few hundred people to show up on 2 or 3 days, and you've taken it over. You go to this thing in January, February called the precinct caucuses. You know how when you vote every 2 years, you go and you vote with your precinct at some
right.
school? Well,
right.
in the same way that these precincts break up the state, your precinct gets to meet probably with other neighboring precincts within the House district. You show up one night, and you vote for people that you've been told to vote for to move to become delegates to the state and the county convention.
Mm-hmm.
Then those people that you got voted, who are on your slate to be county officers and party, state party officers, those delegates just need to remember to show up at those two conventions
mm-hmm.
and vote for whoever they're told to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's precisely how these people get in. They just recruit a few hundred people. That's probably where Jonah's famous recruitment of party members began and ended. He didn't know enough people that were already in the GOP when he decided to run for party chairman, so he says, okay, I'm going to go to the churches, get people to sign party membership cards, and I'm going to have them show up just like I described, and then they tell them, okay, you guys, thanks for what you did, you can go back home now. I'm in. And that's exactly how he got in, and a lot of his predecessors got in, and that's definitely how he got reelected, because I'll tell you, it wasn't based on a mandate of his fabulous results in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you just need a few hundred people to show up in 3 days.
Here's an observation that I make. It's a squandered opportunity on the part of the Republican Party. Now,
yeah.
I'm in total disagreement with them to intervene or interfere on people's lives.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
A same-sex marriage, it's
right.
none of their business.
Yeah.
You know, but why I took this opportunity and pretty much cajoled you, badgered you into coming in was I wanted to show, and if the people, the public, Republicans,
right.
Democrats,
yeah.
or just citizens of this state, would look at this bunch of guys that
yeah.
you name them all, we'll show.
That's right.
They should be allowed anywhere near a government office. But they want to run our governmental affairs,
right.
but they can't even get their own household affairs in order.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons I want to, it's not picking on them, it's just, here's a band of people that we need the balance. We
yes.
need checks. We need Republicans.
Right.
We need Democrats. We need Libertarians. We whatever it is.
Right.
We need checks and balance. Right now,
yeah.
a little short governor can walk in and go, today I'm going to suspend all civil rights laws because it's an emergency.
Yes.
The guy didn't get off the bus for me, or he didn't bow down for me, and he looked down on me, so therefore I'm... It's as crazy as it sounds, this guy can do it.
Yeah.
You know, so this is why I want to bring this to the table.
Sure.
The group that you spoke about, they're worried about vanity.
Yes.
It's magic, the magic party now, no longer the Tea Party.
Yeah.
They want to tell you what you see is an illusion. We're not trouble. We're not problem. We have nothing. It's perfect.
Yes.
And here's a little evidence to speak to that. In this letter that this group of people wrote, we should also point out that this situation has gone beyond our shores.
Yeah.
And it is, the subject of numerous conversations in Washington, simply stated, we cannot expect support from national leaders and their organizations with current leadership. If that's the case, what layer of leadership are you talking about, Gene Ward?
Yeah.
Jonah's level is the only problem? Then it should have said, the letter should have read, not happy with the chairman.
Right.
But did leadership, so does that mean Linda Lingle, Duke Iona,
right.
Charles DeJoux?
Right.
Who are these people that have taken, they talk about the Tea Party taking over.
Right.
I believe, in my observations, that you had two frontal assaults to take over the Republican Party. Selfish individuals, and then that group of people who spoke hatred, you know, and I'm sure the listeners, well, Eric, were you a Tea Party member? You know, that's something you'll have to work out with.
Happy to do it.
With the guys that called up. You too were against the HB 444, but again, this opportunity here is simple. You wrote this internally.
Yes.
And you talked to them before and saying, look, guys, you are just completely driving on the wrong lane.
Sure.
You're going against traffic,
right.
So to speak. You can't do that. They said, and just unfortunately, you may have received. This is Joyner wrote to your famous guy, Tom Berg.
And that's right.
We'll get into details later. But unfortunately, you may have received or heard about emails being sent out by a disgruntled party member. So I underscore party member.
Yes.
So it's illegal to be disgruntled, but it's okay to be a party member. So you're halfway in.
They'll take my money.
Right.
Yeah.
So who has made a habit, and you habitually complain. So you are a whiner and a moaner. So whining and dining, it's...
Make a note to cancel the letters to the editor section of the newspapers starting tomorrow. There'll be no more whining.
Yeah.
No more complaining.
Well, member who has made a habit of it. For those who have been party members for a while, you know that he does this every year.
Yeah.
And you may already be disregarding them. For those who have recently joined, these accusations may be alarming, and that is why, although most of what is said should be disregarded.
Right.
Most.
Yes.
What portions should we regard, consider?
Well, as they say further in that e-blast, which they sent in response to me, I have a very large email list.
Mm-hmm.
I can reach tomorrow, with a push of a button, most Republicans in Hawaii, which is how my initial memos, press releases got out right after that horrible election last year, November, December. So they responded back with an official Republican Party response signed by Jonah,
mm-hmm.
signed by a woman who was the chairwoman of the Honolulu County GOP.
And who's that?
Malia Gray,
mm-hmm.
who was another, she was a Lynn Finnegan employee who basically was there as a seat warmer. And then a woman named Marcia Klompas, who was then a vice chair of the party. She's now the treasurer of the party. She's the Governor Lingle's longtime scheduler. Her husband was Lingle's strategist, communications czar, what have you,
mm-hmm.
and who Gene Ward hired briefly after Lingle's term expired. Anyways, what they specifically said in answer to your question, what can be believed, what should be disregarded, they said Eric's two main charges, that the party's in financial trouble, is a lie. And at any thought that we're at risk of losing our headquarters because we haven't been paying the mortgage and we're entering foreclosure, that's also a lie.
But even though they're in secret meetings talking about how they're going to put board up the windows
exactly.
and close the doors and
exactly.
walk away.
Now, these are the righteous people that are saying this. They are so righteous that they use party resources to spread lies utterly unrighteous.
But see, I got to remind you, they are not lying to God. See, they're lying to the voters.
Even God's
there's
children.
Right. Well, it's okay. But when they meet their maker, they have it all worked out.
Well,
they have a different experience.
Well, I have a feeling that the faithful woke up and they received God's gift of discernment, which is seeing through BS.
So here, if I can try and describe this in, from a layman's standpoint.
Please.
You have the Gene Ward, I'm religious and you're going to go to hell and burn because you didn't look me in the eye. And, and by the way, you've already turned to salt.
Yeah.
Forget that part of
it.
And then on the other end, Gene Ward's group is tugging and manipulating.
Oh, yeah.
And then on this side, you got the Tea Party tugging. And then you got the real Republicans who are sitting there going, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Because Republicans, the ones that I know, they're religious.
Yeah.
But they will never, ever mix the two.
Yeah.
Because it gives room for insanity. It invites insanity.
You can make an argument that almost every law that's on the books now is born out of some sense of moral or ethical or even religious concept.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, in this day and age, do we allow religion and the church to so overtly dictate what laws show up on the books?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that almost suggests some sort of duplicity, like we're really doing it for that reason, we're just going to pretend not to.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally think that if you look at all the laws on the books, there's somebody's sense of right and wrong in there that's probably born out of some either religious, moral, or ethical aspect. But putting that aside, it is definitely a huge mistake politically to introduce it the way that Jonah Kauai, Gene Ward, Lynn Finnegan, Dylan Nonaka, and virtually all the people who are still party officers that signed this letter. I mean, look at the names.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Gene Ward himself, his employee, Beth Fukumoto, who works for him at the state legislature. I think it's called the House Minority Office, and I don't know what they do down there, but apparently it's not working. You've got Miriam Helreich, longtime national committee woman from Hawaii. That's her entree to national politics. She gets to be one of these people that represents the state party at all these big Washington, D.C. meetings. Gets to hang out with big wigs and stuff. And basically, her main way she pays the bills is she's the main fundraiser for people like Lingle and Iona. As the main fundraiser, she takes a cut of the money. She pays herself a nice big monthly stipend to be the fundraiser, making big bucks doing that. So it's in her interests, just like it is for everyone else, to have control over the party, to make sure it's run their way.
Mm-hmm.
Take people running the party like Dylan Nonaka. He is Charles DeJoux's guy, for instance. He worked for Charles DeJoux at the city council on his campaign. He may have had a job once DeJoux went to Washington for those couple of weeks that he was a congressman.
Mm-hmm.
But during last year's election, I got 15 direct mail pieces, you know, political mailers in my mailbox, just like everyone else in the state or in the congressional district of Honolulu. 15 mailers from Charles DeJoux saying vote for Charles DeJoux. And they were all different. Every single one was different. Not one of them was paid for by Charles DeJoux. Every single one was paid for by the Republican Party of Hawaii.
And where did that money come from?
Well, that's the question. See, I know that some people donated nationally to the GOP in hopes of supporting one more Republican in Congress. There's no question about that, but not all that money. Just like any other organization, the GOP has to pass a budget every year or two. They have to pass the budget. They have to figure out where the money's going to come from, put it in categories, and figure out how they're going to spend it, put it in categories. Last year, the way they operated had nothing in common with the budget they passed. The budget they passed when they came into power in 2009, Jonah and his Our Party, Our Ohana gang, The budget they passed said that they were going to spend all this money on generic advertising. Generic meaning commercials you'd see on TV and other types of ads and mailers that say, Democrats bad, Republicans good. Here's why Hawaii's in such a mess, and here's what we do differently. That's generic advertising that helps all candidates, as well as hopefully hurting all Democrat incumbents.
Mm-hmm.
That was their promise, and they passed a budget formally through their state committee that showed how much they're going to spend on that. There was no money allocated for helping individual candidates, like we're going to spend $1 million on helping Charles DeJoux,
right,
or we're going to spend tens of thousands helping this favored candidate. There was nothing in there that said we're going to let the Iona campaign and the DeJoux campaign squat in party headquarters and cohabit with us in the party so they can save money on a headquarters.
Wait, I thought they were supposed to have their own headquarters.
Well, eventually they did a few months before the actual election day, but they were freeloading off of the party headquarters.
Which brings give them extra money that they really didn't have to account for in expenditure.
Money, volunteers, visibility.
Equipment, visibility.
Right. No, I don't mind it so much, except that if you see it like people like me who've seen it for decades now, where every 2 years, and I'm talking about elections, the GOP is run the same way. The same handful of well-connected insiders get the benefits of all the perks and the resources.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example here. One of the other people that signed this letter, who's a current officer of the party, saying, Joni, you got to go, he's got to be the single biggest recipient of GOP Hawaii back scratching the last 2 years, and it's a fellow named David Chang. Now, I've never met him.
Mm-hmm.
Ran for office, I think, in downtown Chinatown sort of area, somewhere around here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was definitely the anointed one of any Republican candidate running for the state legislature, that's either the state house or state senate last year. He was the anointed one. If you were to call Republican Party headquarters last year and you wanted to donate some money to a candidate, they would say, donate to David Chang. They don't say, well, just give it to us and we'll help distribute it or something.
Wait.
They'd actually make referrals specifically to him and maybe one or two other favorite candidates that they would get the money.
I thought the effort was, the party was to try and enhance our party, our Ohana, and expand the numbers and rep. And you're saying they're operating contrary to that by simply, when a phone call in, I want to donate to Eric Ryan. Well, no, donate to David Chang.
Exactly.
Where does that originate from? Whose idea was that?
Well, I have a feeling that a lot of these understandings and friendships and dealings go back to spring of 2009, which is when our party, our Ohana, the group led by Jonah, Lynn Finnegan, Dylan, Gene Ward, when they went to take over the party. They wanted to take it away from the previous people who were running it, who were probably mostly lingual folks. They got together and they built their little group. Like I said, you just need a few hundred people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were going to be candidates. Some wanted to be party officers. Mm-hmm. Some wanted to just be volunteers helping, spread the Lord's message. And I have a feeling from being part of that initial coalition, clique, club, whatever you want to call it, by the time election season rolled around, those friendships were formed, those alliances were there. And even though there were candidates like, for instance, Tom Berg, he ran for state house in 2008, came the closest to winning of anybody that ran for office as a Republican in Hawaii. He only needed like 100 more votes and he would have been in over Rita Cavanilla, state representative from Nova Beach in Waialua Waipahu. He should have been the top number one choice candidate, for instance, to get any Republican Party support. But he wasn't part of that clique, so he was actually at the very bottom of the list. But the people who helped Jonah become chair of the party,
mm-hmm,
were at the top of the list. You can name names. David Chang, Tracy Bean something or other, and one or two others. And they got all the visibility. They were spread all over the GOP website, newsletters. They were featured at all the events. Their names were mentioned on the radio all the time.
While the other candidates
were thrown to the wolves. thrown to the wolves.
Left at the doorstep of whomever.
Yeah.
So it appears that what the Republican Party, not the core, but the fringe groups like the Gene Ward,
right.
the religious, I'm so religious, I see God, everything I see and eat, God is in it.
Right.
And on the other end, the Finnegans, who's, you know, our party, our Ohana,
right.
They got confused balancing the books. You know, a Bible in one hand. they don't understand balancing the books being financial.
Well, you talk about confusion. If I want to put a fine point on it, I'd say the confused ones were those who were lulled into supporting them. These top people knew exactly what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Democrat Party is 90% of all elected officials in Hawaii. Republicans, a little under 10%, I believe. And that's a pretty close ratio to how much money and resources each have.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be a successful Republican in Hawaii, you've got two choices. One is hope that the party gets its act together and helps move the political pendulum in Hawaii by just educating people,
mm-hmm.
telling them the truth about the way things are and how different they would be. And then you could run as a candidate feeding off of that new level of public education and discourse. The other option, which unfortunately is one they keep choosing, is, okay, guys, if we take over party headquarters, we'll have access to all those lists.
Right.
Donor lists, email lists, we'll have a headquarters we can use. We can pretty much call the shots about what the party volunteers do with their time. You know, they can do phone banking for us mm-hmm. and our people.
Mm-hmm.
And to the exclusion of virtually everybody else, although we'll, you know, occasionally throw them a bone so they won't totally hate us. But they see the party headquarters on Kapi'olani as this repository of just enough resources, if they can get their hands on it,
mm-hmm.
to take over and use it for their own benefit. And that's the way they see it. They don't see this as a pie that can grow. They see it as a zero-sum game, and if they can just get theirs, they have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the results from last year. They all went down in flames. We have less elected Republicans now than before, even though they try and say, well, we've got two more people in the state house than before. But those guys ran on their own. Gil Revere ran twice on his own. He finally got in. George Fontaine ran twice on his own. Finally got in. And then one of the other Ohana favored party insiders, Aaron Ling Johansson, took Lynn Finnegan's seat in the state house. So that was like a, you know. You got nothing for nothing. So you got two guys, Revere and Fontaine, who ran on their own, independent of the party, who were much more moderate than the gang that was running the party. And I'm not praising moderation, I'm just telling you, they weren't part of that clique. They got it on their own volition.
Right.
Everyone else lost.
And lost.
And lost, and were broke, and were bankrupt. And now, 10 months after I blew the whistle on the party, they go, oh my God, we're $100,000 in debt.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the worst part. The worst part is not being in debt.
Mm-hmm.
It's not having, you know, $50,000 owed to some company on the mainland and $50,000 owed in credit cards that I don't know if they'll ever get around to auditing and find out how they spent that money. The problem is they now are living under a budget for the next year leading up to the next election
mm-hmm.
of having zero money in their budget for public education, communications, advertising, whatever you want to call it, getting the word out why people should vote Republican. Not a penny. So being in debt's one thing, but that's the least of it. The worst part is, because of the way they've run things, when people wake up on election day next year, 2012,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to know one reason why Republicans are different than Democrats or better or anything. They're not going to know, because they won't be told.
And when you make your main issue, your core issues, I'm against gays,
yeah.
I'm against this, you know,
right.
well then...
Adam and Steve should not get married.
Right, you keep that up.
Yeah.
You know, at one time the Republican Party had no minorities, and today they are the minority. You know, isn't it time? I mean, and they don't believe in evolution, but
right.
they'll evolve into either
right.
oblivion or give it back to the Republican Party, the true Republicans.
Right.
And I don't know. Again, this is the Carol Cox Show. I'm speaking with Eric Ryan. We're talking the Republican Party and the I'll be kind and courteous, the downsizing of the Republican Party, because, you know, because of an economic times, I won't be...
We're all tightening our belts.
Yeah, we'll call it the downsizing. So, but and there are true Republicans, good people, like good Democrats, but the problem is they are caught in between, trusting.
Yeah.
You know, and here's a guy with a halo and a headlight and blinding you with the headlight, and then turn around and praying for you. And
well, the few make it look bad for the many.
Yeah.
In almost every circumstance. The sad thing here is the few are very ambitious, very self-interested, very self-dealing, and at times they're just sleazy and smooth enough to pull off retaining power.
Yeah, and clearly they've taken over, because if you're telling me that David Chang, when the phone rings and it's just a person calling into the pool, I'd like to donate, and you're being diverted and directed as a traffic cop, directing you, go over here and put your money in this bucket.
Yeah.
That will contribute to the demise of anybody.
Oh, sure. Well, a similar thing was also happening. If people were asking, who should we support in the Republican primary for lieutenant governor?
Right.
You've got Lynn Finnegan, and you've got Adrian King.
Right.
Well, what they were putting out there about Adrian King, the Tea Partier, was that she's not really a Republican, not really conservative. I think she used to be, like, pro-abortion, like, 20 years ago, and also... just her Christian credentials aren't really good, and she's just not righteous. You really need to support Lynn. And they were doing this statewide, statewide, to the point where Adrian King was showing so much traction in her message with Tea Party Republicans statewide that the local GOP actually had to create fake new Tea Party organizations on the neighbor islands.
Really?
So that... Lynn Finnegan can be given some kind of a Tea Party endorsement. I mean, we might be laughing and joking about Tea Party now and the value of the brand now, here in 2011, but back last year, it was still pretty important to get that kind of legitimacy of Lynn Finnegan being able to say, the Kona Tea Party supported me, or the Maui Tea Party supported me.
Well,
but they all supported Adrian King.
Back up here, you're saying that they created... fictitious tea parties?
Well, I'm saying, there were tea party organizations already there, perfectly legitimate, but they weren't singing the song that the Hawaii GOP wanted them to sing, which was that Lynn Finnegan was their candidate. They were singing a different song, that Adrian King was their candidate. So the GOP found people, went out and created competing tea party groups so that they could say, well, we're the real Tea Party, and we really support Lynn Finnegan, and we don't support Adrian King. Mind you, Lynn Finnegan did nothing to advance Tea Party, didn't help with its events, didn't help with its message or anything, and Adrian King did. Now, I'm not trying to expose any personal preference me on either side. I'm just telling you,
that'll be another show.
Oh, goodness gracious.
3 hours.
But, they went out there and they actually created counter organizations, Tea Party organizations, months, years later than the original ones, because the original ones weren't liking Lynn Finnegan.
Here's something that strikes me as quite interesting. It seems to me, and based on what I'm reading with the various documents that I've researched and you've shared, there is this inclination on the part or the strategy, save our keiki, save Ever Beach,
right,
our party, our ohana, and I'm thinking these are the guys that's going to come in and rescue us all the time, that religious tone, and they're going to save something,
because
they're carrying God's word, quote God's word, whatever that is. They wouldn't know God if he sat next to them on a bus bench, but this is really telling. When I can't help but think some of the comments, you're going to have him on your show and he's just talking, and that heightened my interest in you, because there's something bigger, and we're not aware of many of these things at the time. I was not aware. And so Here we go. Jean Ward, Beth Fukumoto, she's working on him,
yes.
But he claims he's the deputy or chairman.
He's just the vice chair.
Vice chair.
Yeah.
But she now works for him.
Yes. Well, tell me how that's any healthier than what immediately preceded it. We had Jonah Kawai as the unpaid chairman of the party,
right,
supervising the paid, overpaid, executive director of the party, Dylan Nonaka.
$72,000.
Exactly right. Now, here's the thing. Because Jonah gave up his government job helping cure the crystal meth epidemic under Duke Iona in order to become the party chair, didn't have an income anymore. So what does he do? He and his family move in with Dylan Nonaka's family in their house. So the supervisor is living with the employee at the employee's house. This has got HR, human resources, red flags all over it. As I pointed out in one of the statements there, imagine that the McDonald's manager hiring someone, moving in with them. Is that employee really going to be well supervised? Is that employee probably going to get raises they don't deserve? How's their performance appraisal going to go?
You get a lot of Happy Meals.
You get a lot of Happy Meals. So now we got the interim chair of the party, although I suspect she's probably going to stick around a little bit longer, Beth Fukumoto, working for Jean Ward in her professional existence,
right.
But he supposedly reports to her.
Right.
A chairman's job is to supervise the vice chairs because each of them have their own job description. Nobody did their job the last 2 years. Is she really going to say, okay, Jean, I need to call you on the carpet?
Yeah.
You haven't been doing your recruitment of candidates or your fundraising really well, and I'm going to fire you.
Well,
unlikely.
We're going to come down to the last few minutes of this hour, and you care to join me in the second one?
I'm happy to stick around.
And I hope that all of you out there, if you have questions or comments, want to throw a few rocks, please don't hesitate. 524-1080 in the next hour, and we'll be back. And I'm here with Eric Ryan, and we'll just talk, sing about, and dispelling some of the myths that Eric Ryan is crazy. No, Eric Ryan knows where the smoking gun is, and they wanted to do away with him. And he's lucky to be here with us, because if they had their way, apparently, he wouldn't be here. He'd be off with wings somewhere.
I'd probably be lying peacefully in a pineapple field somewhere.
But Republicans don't do that.
You'd be amazed what desperate people do.
But, you know, you go back to the Pat Psyche, and real quick, Pat Psyche, Andy Anderson, they cut deals with Jean Ward. I was reading somewhere, and I don't know
That's
the facts
true.
Of it or if it is facts.
Sure.
Quickly, and we'll go into the next hour.
Well, as I mentioned, I got started in all of this Republican business in Hawaii. I'm born and raised here, but I didn't really get started until the mid-'80s, and about the same time as Jean Ward himself, coincidentally. The big player at the time, the big couple of players in the local GOP were Pat Psyche, who used the party to be able to run for Congress. So she was a really big player. And Andy Anderson, who was a big player, came to prominence under Frank Fossey and then on his own. Anyway, to the Christians, and I'm not putting anyone down, to the Christians in the Pat Robertson group, Pat Psyche and Andy Anderson, people like that, were practically the Antichrist. They were the kind of people who prevented the Republican Party from going all out. You know, and I don't want to make light of it, like go all out for Jesus, but certainly to go all out for morals and principles and real massive reform, whatever. They saw, you know, Pat Psyche, Amnesty Anderson, people like that is like just compromisers and middle-of-the-road people who didn't mind how bad things were getting in the world. Anyway, so you got the Pat Robertson group, co-chaired by Jean Ward, come along, and all of their people and their flock, and they're now got some real muscle in the party because they got a lot of people elected, they got positions in the party. Well, then it came time for deal cutting. This is when we find out what Jean Ward is really like. Was he willing to sell out his flock? Was he willing to basically let everything that they were fighting for with the Pat Robertson campaign, both locally and nationally, take a back seat to him playing footsies with these insiders so that he can feel like he's, you know, a big dude on campus? Or is he going to keep up the fight? Well, the answer to that's pretty scary.
Okay, second hour. Hang in there, folks. If you're interested, please give us a call, 524-1080, if you have comment or question. And we'll be back shortly. This is the Carol Cox Show.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
About a man who lived good, but didn't live too long. He was born in Macon, Georgia, a poor boy without a dime. He found his way to Memphis, singing these arms of mine. The people would applaud. One day he left Georgia, Wisconsin bound. But he didn't get to sing that night. The plane he was in went down. Otis, Otis Redding was his name. Without his soul for singing, this old world. The king of the Memphis sound. It makes me feel so sad, 'cause now he ain't around. He died with his guitar close to his hands, but his soul lives on today in the hearts of a million fans. Talking about
Okay, good morning and welcome back again to the Carol Cox Show. My guest here is Eric Ryan, and we're talking about a number of things, mostly the Republican Party and the demise or its current status on financial and just some of the developments and a little history, and wouldn't miss this opportunity for anything because what was said earlier months and months ago, they denied, and then it was repeated, and they denied and delied again, and now they're going to give it to us as they wish, you know, spoon feed us, and we are not children, or we're not in the infant stage now, we're grown-ups, and we need to know, because there are a lot, I spoke with some people that are Republicans, not a Tea Party, not a religious party, but that say, you know, I'm sending money supporting, and I've shared with them some of the particulars, and they're astounded, they're shocked, that, and now you throw me this curve about them selecting and steering who you should donate to.
Oh, sure.
You know, and I might share with the listeners out there from a personal standpoint.
Yeah.
I I'm a little disappointed in Beth Fukumoto, because I was hoping, you know, she'd just stay away from the Bible and on and stick to the politics and the issues and that's needed for our district in Mililani and represent us from that, not from a biblical sense.
Right.
Because we have the most useless state representative you could have in Ryan Yamani. If Calvin say want him to go out and scoop up elephant poop with a napkin,
yeah,
he would just say, I only need one, Calvin. Just it's sufficient for me.
Yeah.
He is useless.
Yeah.
And you know, and I originally, when I met him, he knocked the doors and you talked a good story. He still works for the health department or was working for the health department. And it's just conflict after conflict
yeah.
after conflict.
Oh, sure.
And shame on Beth for squandering an opportunity
yeah.
because she saw God. She can go to the state legislature
yeah.
and participate there. And then go to church after the fact and separate the two. But she's been corralled
yeah.
by Gene Ward. And that's an interesting point. He is, I've often wondered, what's his role?
Yeah. You know,
he's the, one of the happiest Republicans I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Happy. Well, except for Charles DeJoux. I mean, Charles is always happy until he's complaining about the other side. But we won't hold that against him.
Well, I doubt that he's very happy on election night. And that's probably when a lot of this stuff started to make sense to him that, you know, maybe he shouldn't have been alone in the burden of trying to explain things to people. And that's, see, as you mentioned earlier, the role of a political party, especially when you're in a distant second place,
mm-hmm.
is to explain why you should be in first place. That is the role of the party.
Right.
Put a finer point on it, a candidate knows, anybody running for office knows, the first thing they're worried about is anyone having a negative impression of them. You will undoubtedly have a negative impression formed of you, believe me, I know this from personal experience, if you say enough negative things.
Mm-hmm.
You go out there and let's say I'm Joe Blow, I'm going to run for state senate, I'm a Republican, I want to unseat the current Democrat state senator because he or she is just terrible. And you go on and on and on about how that person and their buddies in the legislature have ruined Hawaii. You say all this negative stuff enough, and unfortunately, in the state our democracy's in, with people not really paying close attention to what's going on at the legislature, the city council, whatever, what they hear is negativity.
Mm-hmm.
So the party is supposed to carry most of that burden of delivering the bad news to people so the candidates can look like heroes coming over the hill. But unfortunately, with the party being useless, you've got all these candidates out there who already have the disadvantage of not enough money,
mm-hmm.
not well known enough, not enough people helping them, probably not getting enough of an early start, whatever. They have all these disadvantages. Now you're going to put the biggest disadvantage of all on them. They're going to have to, all by themselves, explain to every last voter how crappy things are and how much better that would be if they were in there.
Mm-hmm.
You put that much burden on an individual in their organization, when they're still trying to just introduce their name and their smiley face picture to the world and, you know, their positive points of what they do if they got in, and then you saddle them with, and they also have to explain how horrible things are
mm-hmm.
and how the insiders are screwing everything up, you're setting them up for failure. You're setting them up for failure. You know, you don't have the people standing at the front counter at McDonald's taking orders, bad-mouthing Burger King. It would make an unpleasant dining experience. You let your advertising compare McDonald's versus Burger King. But your frontline salespeople, you do not saddle them with the need to go negative,
mm-hmm.
You know, or at least as little as possible. So people like Charles DeJoux wake up the morning after the election and they go, oh, my God,
mm-hmm.
I had to say all these nasty things about Hanabusa. I had to say all these nasty things about the Democrats in Washington. I was doing it all myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was all attributable to me, Charles DeJoux, saying these things. Where was the party? Sure, they were funding, probably illegally, a lot of my campaign materials, violating the party budget, violating all sorts of the canons of bookkeeping and accounting. However, everybody in Hawaii who got to vote on that election knew that those negative things were coming out of Charles DeJoux's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It was coming out of Beth Fukumoto's mouth. It was coming out of David Chang's mouth. It was coming out of Tito Montes' mouth, Tom Berg's mouth. They, at the candidate level, were having to explain mm-hmm. Economics 101, Government and Civics 101, Headlines, Journalism 101, Current Events. They had to explain everything themselves. And they're supposed to be out there introducing themselves, getting known,
mm-hmm.
getting liked. I'm sorry, that's just the way it works. And when the party plays such a back seat and doesn't do anything except, hoard resources and funnel them to their friends, well, you're in permanent second place. And I have people asking me all the time, Eric, what's the prognosis for 2012? And I say, okay, well, I called for Jonah's resignation and all of those leaders of the party and an audit of the party the day after the election, practically, in November. It's now October. Jonah just resigned a few days ago. The rest of them are still running things. The debt is still there. They still not have any money to spend for next year. My prognosis for 2012 ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You are not any closer to a two-party system probably for years from now, if they ever get it together.
I know how they introduced Linda Lingle in this fray, or this cabal, by saying, suggesting or hinting, and if I'm wrong in my repeating of this, is that she was going to bring money to, but someone suggested that her group was going to hold money from the party,
yeah.
but introduce it when she... What is that?
Right. Well, there's some truth to it, but it's not entirely true. The before Jonah resigned, mm-hmm. his defenders, including himself, were on high alert, constantly trying to fight, just like they did with me, against any criticism of him. And one of the criticisms that was really strong is Jonah is lousy at raising money. He just doesn't sit down, work the phones, call people, meet people, raise money. He just doesn't do it. He didn't do it before the election. He hasn't done it since. It's been terrible. And so his defenders were saying to his detractors and the media, no, the problem isn't that he can't raise money. The problem is that Lingle and all of her people and the party moderates and establishment have told donors, don't give to the party, starve the party, we'll get rid of Jonah, and then we can start donating him. Now, let's call that half true.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone has a right to give or not give to an organization if they think it's well run or poorly run. Where it gets interesting and maybe a little tricky is that Lingle definitely wants to run for office again.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst kept secret in town. Everyone's known from her first term in office as governor that she wanted to run for either Congress or more likely Senate. There's no term limits. You can be there forever. Elections are only every 6 years, which makes it really easy to raise lots of money and stay there. With a poor financial shape of the party, who better than Lingle to come like a hero over the hill with all of her donors to come save the party,
mm-hmm.
in exchange probably for its soul, her people running it, and some of them are already in there, like Marcia Klofas, who's now treasurer after having lied for 10 months about the party finances. But some of them are in there. They'll probably get more of them in there,
mm-hmm.
who will do her bidding. But Lingle is not a party person. Sure, she runs as a Republican. Sure, she was even chair for a little while of the party. But she's not a party person. I mean, her career began on Molokai writing articles in a socialist union newsletter. She's not like an avid Republican conservative. The reason she got one governor, I'm not taking away from a well-run campaign in 98 or 2002, and of course 2006 was a walk because she went up against a nobody, but we had this little thing that had a giant impact, and it was called the Bishop Estate Scandal. Where they found out that the trustees of Kamehameha Schools and Bishop Estate were really skimming off the top quite a lot for themselves at the expense of students, teachers, schools, and their whole mission. That was a turning point for so many lifelong Democrat voters in Hawaii, where they held their nose and they voted Republican, and that's how Lingle almost beat Cayetano in 98 and then beat Mazie Hirono in 2002. Both narrow. Elections, but enough Democrats were sick of the corruption, which they saw crystallized in that Bishop Estate thing. If you hypnotized Linda Lingle tomorrow or gave her truth serum, she would readily admit, I'm sure, that if it wasn't for the Bishop Estate scandal, she wouldn't have gotten elected.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't have come near beating Cayetano in 98 or winning in 2002. that scandal changed everything, but not forever.
Mm-hmm.
So we've now had our breath of fresh air. Democrat voters in Hawaii and independents held their nose. They let Linda Lingle be in there for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're back to business as usual.
Yeah. Now, so that the listeners will know, you're not just spouting now. You've stated the same or greater and stronger sentiments expressed in November 4th, 2010.
2 days after the election. Right.
Internally to to the party.
That's right.
And then you say in that communication, Governor Lingle, whose endless political aspirations are never a secret, would probably love to have complete control over the party again.
Right.
Either personally or through her willing minions to further her next run for office, U.S. Senate.
Right.
But the last thing we need is for the unpopular politician to once again manipulate the party for her own personal advancement and aggrandizement.
Right.
Well, so that I offer that because you've already set this internally, and this then lends itself to explaining, and not that I feel obligated
sure.
to, is to say to the listeners, this is why you are being labeled and tagged as a nonsensical, disgruntled, hyperactive fool.
Yes.
And whatever other terms they felt they would label you.
Yeah.
Sound the horn, he's coming down the mountain with the truth, sir.
Right. The criticism of me as being someone who complains, critiques, whatever, is fine. To leave out the fact that I propose solutions is intellectually dishonest. But the reality is things are as bad as I said they were.
Mm-hmm.
When I said after the election, party's broke, it's doing terribly, we got really big problems. The current treasurer of the party, who's still there as treasurer of the party, Marcia Klompas,
mm-hmm.
wife of Lingle's strategist,
mm-hmm.
Lenny Klompas, openly lied for almost a year to every party member saying we're fine. But all of a sudden, a week or two ago, she and her friends in the cabal say, you know, we're going to have to get rid of you, Jonah, because we're almost 100,000 in debt, and we don't want the world to know how bad things are. And that is exactly what they said in their little letter there.
Mm-hmm.
We can't let it get out how terrible things are.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you what really matters to Lingle people, what they really worry about. Their number one goal when Lingle took over the party was to keep it from going too right-wing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on fiscal issues, social issues, it doesn't matter. She just didn't want it to seem too extreme. She wanted to seem like a centrist, a moderate, a reasonable person, a common sense person,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's right for our times. That is exactly what they wanted to brand her with. And she didn't need this Republican Party thing going out there and making her look bad. Because she had an uphill enough battle trying to win for governor. She didn't need the distractions of things like the party, say its platform, seeming too rabid, or its officers or members or even its candidates being just too out there because it could detract from her.
Mm-hmm.
So now she wants to run for office for U.S. Senate. It's not like before. It's not like before where she could pretend that everything is fine out there. We have truly, from 2010, with the way Jonah, remember his infamous letter to all the pastors in Hawaii, the churches, saying, don't let Mufi Hanneman, you know, come and speak at your church as a candidate for governor. The only righteous person running is Duke Iona, and he's the only one you should let speak to your flock, and we all have to unify and vote only for Republicans. And he was using all of this religious language.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, everyone in the state heard about that. And it's not just a little thing. You leave a lasting imprint on voters for decades with these types of poorly thought out messages. There are people in every part of town on this island and all the other islands, the neighbor islands, who are going to remember for a long time that the Republican Party in Hawaii stands for righteousness, against gay weddings, and basically that we were probably silent on all the real issues that matter to people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to stick with them a long time. So Linda Lingle, in trying to get control back of this party, which I'm sure she's working on consolidating that power now, she has to worry more about preventing future damage control. How is she going to deal with controlling the damage from the past year? with what Jonah did. How is she going to do that? Is she going to completely disavow the last 2 years and say, people of Hawaii, people of Hawaii, my name is Linda Lingle, completely ignore everything you heard the last 2 years?
Yeah.
That was crazy stuff. You know, I was on vacation when it all happened, and so don't hold me responsible for that. We Republicans don't believe any of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the time that Jonah's been there, the party's taken some really strong, unmistakable stands. They didn't do it in time for the election, but they eventually did it. We're against gay weddings. We're against the Akaka bill. We're against the Jones Act. We're against rail. We're against this and that. Now, they haven't done a good job persuading the electorate to go along with them. They've just taken those stands. It just so happens that every one of those stands is the opposite of the way Linda Lingle feels about those issues.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have a party that's completely at odds, policy-wise,
mm-hmm.
voted by its members with what Linda Lingle believes.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the electorate still reeling from what happened last year and all the righteousness and non-righteous and all of that. So that's what she has to contend with. Yeah. Taking over the party again doesn't solve all those problems.
Yeah. And again, in this letter to the Republican Party, clearly Lingle's record from you, Lingle's record of needlessly spending millions in donor money to get herself reelected against an unknown Democrat challenger. 4 years ago, Randy Wassey, while the party and its candidates went down in flames, shows where her priorities are. Truly, lying.
That's a blueprint for next year.
Mm-hmm.
A total blueprint. It's, like I said, 90% of elected officials and resources are Democrats. Maybe 10% if you're lucky are Republican. Lingle is going to need to squeeze every drop of blood out of that small turnip called Republicanism and the Republican Party and Republican donors and Republican volunteers. She's going to need to squeeze all the life's blood out of that and bring in mainland money and mainland people and mainland resources in order to overcome all the advantages Democrats have locally.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to mean there's going to be virtually none left for anyone else running.
Mm-hmm.
Charles DeJoux, whatever you think about him, is kidding himself if he thinks he's going to get as much focus as Linda Lingle once she runs. David Chang, Beth Fukumoto, all these people, let's pretend they're not conflicted in terms of their conflict of interest with party leadership positions, just as candidates. They would be kidding themselves if they think that next year they're going to see a fraction of what they got last year from that directed money from the party. Once Lingle's in this race, who has infinitely more clout than Duke Iona, who most people predicted was going to lose 8 years ago when he first
mm-hmm.
came out of obscurity and became the lieutenant governor candidate alongside Lingle. So what you just read, my critique of what Linda Lingle did, blowing through millions in money, Republican money, reelecting herself against a guy who got only a fraction of the votes, an unknown Randy Iwase, is a blueprint for next year.
Mm-hmm. So in this communication, again, you say, while the diversion of monies and other resources to DeJoux and Iona was underway, most, quote, down-ticket candidates and their teams were reduced to being volunteers and cheerleaders for those same, quote, top-ticket races. This is sickeningly unrighteous. The looting of the party on the order of hundreds of thousands of dollars, which the independent audit could expose to be millions of dollars, could have been spent to help advance GOP cause or of reform statewide, benefiting all GOP candidates by amplifying their calls for change.
Yeah, that's true.
So, again, I'm reading this so that I don't want to suggest that you're adopting your answers now or your comments. This came practically a year ago.
Sure.
And clearly, if you wrote it on the 4th of November, it was given thought a couple of months or weeks, and this is something that has evolved, right?
If I were dragged into court tomorrow, I can produce, and a lot of people have already read, back in spring of 2009, I warned people
mm-hmm.
that the inherent conflicts of interest of these people that wanted to take over the party, that the inherent conflicts of interest they had, where they clearly were there because they were there to help DeJoux get money and resources, not all Republicans, them, to help Duke Iona get money and resources, and actually, most of all, Lynn Finnegan. who made this chaotic jump from obscurity in the state legislature to trying to become the darling of the GOP as the lieutenant governor candidate, had to do some very unrighteous things to get herself the nomination, and then went down in flames with Iona because they totally miscalculated the idea that if we spend all of these resources from the GOP, if we wake up the churches like the way the Democrats use the unions and get these people to the polls, we're sure to win. Mm-hmm. Nuts. Absolutely nuts.
I don't want to credit the local politician like Lingle and LeJoux and Gene Ward and Sam Sloan, those guys as being the ones who decided to put the millions behind Charles LeJoux.
Right.
What degree or influence, or level of influence, did the National Republican Party have on this and the millions because they felt they wanted to undermine the Obama administration?
Yeah.
What degree did that play into this whole matter?
They were very involved in trying to rescue Duke Iona's campaign. Mm-hmm. There was at no point when Duke was ever ahead in the polls or even close. But they did spend a lot of money trying to rescue this campaign. A lot of those ads you saw on TV in the weeks preceding the general election was totally mainland money, Republican Governors Association. Both political parties have specific groups that help specific levels of government. So you've got the Republican Governors Association. Their thing is trying to get more Republican governors elected nationwide. You've got the National Republican Congressional Committee. They're trying to get more people elected to the National House of Representatives. You've got the Republican National Senatorial Committee. They're trying to get more U.S. senators elected. And they're probably going to be the big player next year with Linda Lingle's eventual race for office. Mm-hmm. So they were very involved in trying to give Obama a black eye, but because there was no real hope of Duke Iona winning, it was good money thrown after bad, just trying to keep Duke from losing as badly as he was going to lose, and there was just no saving that campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sad seeing all that money spent for nothing. But you're going to definitely see more of what you just described, Carol, mainland money, in Obama's backyard, depending on where Obama says he's from, you know, where his home is, you know, it seems to change all the time. There's at least two or three places I've heard of outside Hawaii. But anyway, they're going to be wanting Obama to lose, probably not the presidential race, but his colleagues lose here in Hawaii. They're definitely going to throw a lot of money at Lingle. They might help Charles DeJoux again, but his record is horrible. If you think back to last year's election, you didn't just have the general election in November. You didn't just have the primary in September. Back in, what was it, March or April, you had the special election. Because an ambitious guy who's been in politics a long time in Hawaii named Neil Abercrombie,
mm-hmm.
who the Republicans locally tried to portray as a long-haired hippie, pot-smoking guy from the 60s, when he's remade his image so much since then that it had no hope of sticking. But anyway, Neil Abercrombie gives up his seat in Congress, decides he wants to become governor. He wants to come home to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard all kinds of theories as to why it was time for him to get out of Washington and come back here. I'm not as conversant on those, so I won't speak to it. But decides to run, that opens a vacancy in Congress. Charles DeJoux sees this great opportunity, and he and his people put everything they have into running for that seat. Now, in a three-way race between Charles DeJoux, Ed Case, and Colleen Hanabusa,
mm-hmm.
Charles DeJoux ekes out a little victory of 30-something percent of the vote, just enough to beat the two Democrats that split the vote. These delusional people at Republican Party headquarters, Dylan Nonaka and Jonah Kaolai and others, think that they can transform DeJoux's 30% of the vote into 51% to win in a general election.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely delusional. They just don't have the resources. That would be like a mom-and-pop store trying to open a Costco-sized store and thinking that they have the resource to do so. You don't. You just don't have the resource to make that big, giant jump. And so all this money got diverted. But that was what you read in my memo there. I was complaining last year because these candidates that even I was helping, take like a Joe Pandolf running out in Hawaii Kai for state senate. Better knows Joe Builder. He was one of the founders of the local Tea Party. Well, anyway, I call him one day to find out what he's doing, how his campaign's going. And this is like in, you know, February or March of last year. And at a time that he and all of his fellow candidates should have been promoting themselves, going door to door, handing out brochures for themselves, speaking at events, whatever, these candidates were made to be block captains and area captains for the Charles DeJoux campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of promoting themselves and trying to get themselves elected, they've been reduced by Jonah and Dylan and Charles DeJoux and others into being lackeys for his campaign. And I'm thinking, how does it help you to get elected if you're handing out someone else's brochures and spending your time helping someone else? It's nuts.
It seems like the evidence clearly shows, because it is the Obama's, quote, Obama's backyard.
Yeah.
I think what they shot themselves in the foot and fell flat on their faces. And I think, you know, going off to war, for example, charges you with this special treatment.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm off to war now. They picked on me, so I'm going to go show them. And then he gets to New York or some group in there. I'd like to find out how he got that special. Why didn't he just get on a plane and go straight to the firing line, you know?
Well, that's what hurt Dan Quayle back in 1988, was they thought he got special treatment, National Guard. There's a war going on, mm-hmm. and he ends up doing some stateside, you know, cushy job. He's not seeing bullets fly past him or anything, you know, real danger.
Mm-hmm.
And that really hurt Dan Quayle in 88. And all one has to do is think back to all the politicians who run against folks who've actually been in war. And it just doesn't look good if you work a cushy military assignment and you're running against someone who's, you know, got scars from bullet holes and shrapnel and lost a leg, that sort of thing. So
let me ask you, just changing it slightly instead of financing, do you think that the Republican Party needs a don't ask, don't tell policy internally?
What would they not be telling about?
Because I'm seeing that there's people that just the other day when they booed the military gentleman for
right.
What is going on there? I mean, haven't they learned the lessons that
right.
God sits over here and they're in politics, they and
right.
they're citizens, they need to
right.
learn that no matter what they think and pray right. on, it's not happening.
Well, Carol, you're a very pragmatic social libertarian, and you believe that strongly. I'm not saying I disagree with you, but what you're raising is, there are two sets of issues. One is, how do you really feel about the issue? But the other issue that I'm actually more concerned with typically is the marketing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a good enough marketer, you will have no problem selling ice to Eskimos.
Mm.
If you are the kind of people that run the Republican Party the last few decades, and the folks who are there right now running it for the next 2 years, people who have taken over and have kept power and kicked one guy out, but they're all still there, these people could not sell ice to Eskimos.
You know why they can't sell ice?
Why is that?
Because Eskimos already know they got ice, so they're not. It's the dummy that comes to town. You see, that's.
Well, I don't think they could even sell those tasty empanadas from Taco Bell to Eskimos. So if you're a really poor marketer, poor communicator, poor persuader, taking on something that's really hard to sell, like why government should be able to tell people what they can or can't do with their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tougher sell now than it ever has been in American history. That's probably a really bad idea, especially when you've been served up a full helping of great issues you can win on.
Right.
Terrible economy, people losing their homes, people having to work multiple jobs, kids that are having to move away from Hawaii in droves just to make ends meet and have hope of a life and a career. An obviously self-dealing government system, you know, mm-hmm. just rife with corruption, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it goes on.
Right.
That should be your central focus. Once you win, you can get in there and vote your conscience on these issues mm-hmm. that, you know, that I know you're taking issue with. But the point is, the first rule of sales is play up the easily sold benefits, you know, and don't go for the really esoteric, hard-to-sell stuff that might even be offensive or divisive. You don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they decided to do. Idiotic.
Mm-hmm. Well, here comes another pragmatic social.
So don't ask, don't tell?
I think I
propose actually an IQ test over a don't ask, don't tell test.
In the Republican
I'd
party.
Start with the IQ test.
Oh, man, there would be no more Republicans.
Well, certainly the current leaders will be out.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Comment or question?
Good morning, Carol. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for coming back, Ryan.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got just a question. You know the small businesses and whatnot?
Sure.
Because the big business is all with Democrats. Can they gather together and get a Republican in there and help them out get their, you know, because the Democrats don't like the tax of the small business.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's funny you ask the question. I'll try to answer it directly in a second, but a little bit off the topic. The person who runs Small Business Hawaii, which is an organization, his name is Sam Sloan, he's a state senator, and he actually pretty much his claim to fame that got him to be able to get elected as a state senator was being the guy who runs Small Business Hawaii and advocates on their behalf and advocates against big government, big business, what have you. Anyway, so, I mean, he's good at what he does, and he's done it for him. It's interesting that he is the one elected official that chose not to sign the letter asking Jonah to resign. And he made a big point of saying, I didn't sign it, and he just sent out an electronic newsletter to everybody on his list saying, I didn't sign it, and good luck to you, Jonah, in the future. And I've met with Sam Sloan repeatedly for a while there, asking him to try and play a more active role in fixing the GOP as opposed to just protecting himself. But as it relates to your question, yes, small businesses create the majority of jobs, therefore they probably have access to the majority of people. And if they could explain to enough of their own employees and customers, hey, things need to be different, let's band together and change Hawaii, they'd be very influential, probably even more so than churches and unions put together. Tricky thing is business people are in the business of running their business. And you talk about not wanting to bring religion and bringing politics into your business place is real tricky. You don't want to turn off customers. However, businesses can give money. Businesses can encourage people to volunteer. There's all kinds of things they could do. So you're right. That is the number one greatest untapped resource for an alliance with reform-minded people. In Hawaii, you'd have to say those would be the Republicans because they're not running things. But what would you suggest would be a way to get these people going?
I guess to get them organized and try and see if they can. Because a lot of them are just, you know, leaving. They're just folding up.
That's right.
It's getting pretty bad, and eventually nobody can come in here and open a business with no tax breaks and everything else.
Yeah, and in fact, government in Hawaii, and I'm born and raised here, even though I don't sound like it, the state government and the city government need so much money to operate, to hire all the people and pay for all the contracts and all the benefits and everything, just to make it its ends meet.
Right.
And in so doing, they've made it extremely unaffordable for families and businesses both to be here. However, you hear this concept of a tipping point. Have we reached that tipping point where there are enough people in Hawaii on the take who either get a government job or their wife has a government job or they get a government contract or they work for a union and tied by the government, whatever? Are there enough of them who, if they show up at every election, can outnumber the rest of us who are so demoralized and so busy working multiple jobs that we're lucky if we get around to voting? That they can just keep control each year and maybe expand the government and it's spending a little bit more and more each year, that eventually there's nothing short of a revolution that would topple them.
Right.
I think, sensing from some of the things you've said, you probably think they were pretty close to that tipping point, if not past it. What can you do to turn things around? Well, we know from history that government like Cuba, China, where have you, Soviet Union, is the answer. We can't all work for the government. There has to be a private sector to generate jobs, revenues, whatever, to pay for things. It just doesn't work. we're just not going to reach the level of public awareness and education, in my book, if you ask me, at the rate we're going with the GOP. Now, is there anyone else in the white pages or the yellow pages that you can look up that has any kind of a voice or organization other than the Republican Party that could lead the way? Well, as you said, a lot of the big businesses in town have been co-opted. You look at the Chamber of Commerce. I'm not saying every member, every business that's part of the Chamber of Commerce has been co-opted, but the organization has been, and a lot of its biggest members have been. You know, when you see the guys who run the big banks and the big organizations and the big companies always supporting the same people, you look at like a Murphy Hanneman brochure, and you look at all the people and their pictures and names that are endorsing him or other, you know, major players, it's like, why is it when things are so bad that these people all circle the wagons and defend each other? It's just disgusting if you know how people are hurting. So business organization would be great, but one of the leading ones, Small Business Hawaii, doesn't seem interested in really doing anything to turn the corner, and Sam Sloan is a non-player in this change at the Republican Party, and having talked to him extensively, he just doesn't seem to want to be part of that solution. He and some related groups like the Grassroot Institute and the there's a website called the Hawaiian Reporter, and there's a few other groups that work close together, but really they're preaching to a little choir that isn't getting any bigger. And they have this little event at the Pacific Club, I think once a month, called the Calabash. And this Calabash is like, you know, just a few dozen people, mostly the same people showing up every month. Again, it's preaching to the choir. They just really talking to themselves. They don't have a growth strategy. So in my few decades in Hawaii politics, on and off, I've seen the main players on the Republican side get together and accomplish nothing. And they're perfectly happy with that level of accomplishment.
They're in a comfort zone, I guess.
Total comfort zone, yeah. And they like being the top dogs in their really tiny little ponds. I wish I could say something more optimistic, but having seen these people in action, having known them, it's going to take faces you've never seen before, names you've never heard before, really getting it together. Do you have anyone out there you think of that could save us?
I don't know, but what happened to Randy Morton when she ran for second congressional district?
Who was that?
Randy Morton.
Oh, Ramsey Wharton, sure. She went back to reporting.
Yeah.
Nice to see she got a job back, because so many reporters keep losing their jobs in this town because, hey, we all have the internet now. I can get the news faster than waiting until 6 o'clock to hear it, you know, read to me.
Yeah.
She and her mom are semi-involved in Republican politics out in the beach area. And I think her mom is a congressional candidate in Florida or something like that, and she's involved in local politics now. But they're part of the Jonah group, and I really have I don't want to single them out just because you mentioned them. I should probably mention 100 other names at this point, but people that are so lacking in judgment that they couldn't see this train of failure coming, and they jumped on board and they wanted to be part of it, are not the kind of people I really want running our government anyway. Because how different are they going to be from Democrats?
Caller, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any kind. You know, you mentioned the Calabash meeting.
Yeah.
Now, someone called me up and informed me about such meeting as recently as September 27th.
Yeah.
Now, it was what caught my attention and caught their attention was this. It says that this meeting is off record and by invitation only.
Yeah.
But it was sponsored by the Hawaii Reporter, Student Chapter, Federalist Society of Hawaii, the Aloha Conservative Alliance, Grassroot Institute, and Small Business Hawaii.
There you go.
Now, if you are trying to represent all small business of Hawaii,
yes,
why on earth would you be going into a dungeon with a select few, and it says by invitation only and only 50 people, why would Sloan lend himself to supporting such an effort and then turn and say, we're for the small business?
See,
there is so much conflict in the way things are done and the sincerity of people that you really can't believe
what it is. That's why I call it the magic party.
Yes.
You know, it's not the tea party. It's not. Right. And all they need to do is get back on track.
Yeah.
And if you want to win, include all people.
Yeah.
And you probably see some, and you know,
yeah.
you probably see a gathering of people who's right. already sick and tired. The clear message was Linda Lingle when how she won.
Yeah.
They couldn't find a candidate to run against her.
Yeah.
It wasn't that she was so great. It was the people were sick and tired. And they're still sick and tired. But these guys, Republicans, yeah. as we know them, squandered it.
Yes.
But they shouldn't, there should have been like a gaggle of geese bulging at the sides at the state house and
oh,
the
yeah.
state senate.
Right.
Getting in, waiting to be sworn in. But
right.
what did they do? Obama's birth certificate
right.
against gay marriage and
yes.
all. And then they label people as, well, you know, you're this and that. Well, it
right.
doesn't matter what I am, you
right.
lost.
Yeah.
And you lost, you signed your own death certificate.
Think of the examples that all of us have seen in the last couple of years. My favorite is how Netflix destroyed Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what Netflix did. Netflix gave people exactly what they wanted, which Blockbuster wasn't giving them. Destroyed that company within a matter of months. Destroyed them. Blockbuster's trying to fight back. Of course, it had bankruptcy protection. But the point is, Blockbuster had become big, bloated, charging people enormous late fees, and it wasn't convenience. They weren't mailing stuff to people. There was nothing online. Netflix came along and gave people everything the Blockbuster wasn't doing and destroyed Blockbuster in a matter of months. That is the lopsided advantage that Republicans in Hawaii have had for decades, but especially in the last few years. They've been handed the path to victory, the blueprints, on a silver platter,
mm-hmm.
a gold platter, a platinum platter. They've been shown the road to get there, but they won't take that road. If you lived in any of the other 49 states in an election year, and even in off years between elections, you would see advertising by both parties
right.
saying why we're right about this, why we're wrong about that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to take any chances that there are voters out there who could be moved and persuaded by their message
right.
from hearing it. Here in Hawaii, I defy anyone to tell me the last time they saw a Republican Party of Hawaii TV commercial in the last 50 years.
Without Charles the Jew.
Well, yeah, exactly. One that's just saying, here's why you should vote Republican, here's why you shouldn't vote Democrat, here's how bad things are, and here's what we do. Oh, it's something.
Right.
Generic advertising like that, which happens all the time on the mainland, you don't see here. I'm not saying we want to be like the mainland, but that's how you reach people. And they refuse to reach people to try and change their minds. At the end of the day, the decision makers and that little cabal of mostly the same people, they just shuffle the chairs around every few years, say, okay, how are we going to squeeze all this blood out of this turnip just for us and our
right.
people so we can get patronage jobs? You know, we can get our guy in and then we can all work in his office in Washington or her office at Washington Place. Or, you know, at the legislature, we get, you know, we're at city council or the mayor, you know, we can get jobs for ourselves. And that's what motivates most of these people.
What's your prediction on, based on this? You clearly have been
yeah.
you're soaked and saturated
yeah.
and you're bloating with
yeah.
the background. And info. What's your
right.
prediction?
2012 will be a disaster, and between now and 2012, which is, you know, a little more than a year away, you're going to see not many faces or names change at party headquarters. I think they're pretty happy, unless Linda Lingle inserts some folks. But you're going to see in 2012 a repeat of Linda Lingle in 2006, which is where almost 99% of party resources, volunteers, money, PR, news coverage, whatever, goes to her. They might divert a little off for DeJu,
mm-hmm.
and everyone else, good luck fending for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
2012 will be a complete disaster. There will be probably less Republicans elected than there are now. If not the same, it will probably be less. Because think about it. The Democrats, the fewer opponents they have to run against who have a chance,
mm-hmm.
they're able to concentrate their resources on just the ones they want to get rid of. Someone like Gene Ward, if the Democrats really wanted to get rid of him, he'd be gone. Kim Pine, gone. Corinne Ching, she'd be gone. these new ones, Fontaine and Philip of the North Shore, Gil Revere, they'd be gone because they concentrate all the resources on them.
Because the money is spent handed to Lingle and
yeah.
Sue and whoever.
Right.
Wow.
And another dynamic that we can't forget is next year's a presidential year. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama, I doubt he's going to face a primary challenge. He's more worried about just getting reelected in the general.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see every possible attempt by the Obama campaign with the Democrats to reconstitute what they did in 2008. All the people power and rallies and organizing and door-to-door and, you know, donate as little as $3 and you have dinner with the president. You know, all this stuff, this cult of personality stuff, where basically if we don't get Obama reelected, there's going to be lynchings tomorrow and poor people are going to have to be unplugged, you know, from their medical devices.
And I won't have my radio show and you and I won't be able to talk to one another.
No, no, no. We're given a one-way ticket and a passport to somewhere that's unfriendly, like Yemen or something.
You'd own me again.
Yeah, exactly. But so that dynamic, you have to apply evenly over the Hawaii political scene and realize that the juice, that the momentum is once again going to be with the Democrats in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to be on the Republican side.
Here's, if you want to know what Obama's, I don't care about both sides have squandered. We got more Patriot Act activity and shooting of American citizens and oh,
well,
and Obama.
He closed Guantanamo, though, didn't he?
Oh, he closed Guantanamo before he got it. You know, and we're so far back on it. But here's telling about his economic pop
sure.
and the success. When he first campaigned,
yeah.
he was asking for, I got emails, Carol, you can send as little as $5.
Yeah.
Now it's $3.
Yeah.
He knows
yeah.
that his policies weren't worth $2.
No.
And
no.
so now he's yeah. asking for, you know, and I think if we wait
right.
by the end of the year, it's probably going to be just send anything you can.
Yeah.
We'll even take S&H green stamps, Carol. Well, you know, this
right.
is telling
right.
when politics on both sides,
right.
when we don't have checks and balances,
sure.
when we have people running around worried about
right.
who's marrying who, when in the real issues
yeah.
are our economy is taking the shorts. We're getting hijacked at the fuel pumps here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know we should discourage use of gasoline, whatever, but come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no gun to our heads.
No.
There's a gas
right.
handle, nozzle to our heads.
Right.
And we're
well, the fundamental part of your question is why, with things as bad as they are now,
mm-hmm.
with three going on 4 years of Obama, is the bloom not off the rose? Why is there this assumption, and probably a correct one, that Obama is going to get Hawaii support again next year, as bad as things are? Even though Hawaii has a worse foreclosure rate than most of the rest of the nation,
mm-hmm.
our unemployment is steadily increasing, people are hurting more than ever, why would they just mindlessly, because the guy might have lived here for a little while, and maybe he was born here, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And why has the Republican Party done zero in Hawaii to degrade that cult worship for Obama in Hawaii when all the arguments are on our side? Nationally, Republicans are slamming Obama,
mm-hmm.
slamming his policies. In Hawaii, the only people associated with the Republican Party who are doing anything to change a million people in Hawaii, 1.3 million in Hawaii, changed their minds about Obama, are just a handful of people on Facebook talking to each other and saying, oh, yeah, that Obama's so bad. But nobody is talking to the swing voters in the middle, conservative Democrats, not even shoring up the Republican base.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that there would be people waving signs on the side of the road, Fort Weaver Road, near the beach, Kamehameha Highway in Kaneohe, Pali Highway in Kailua, going up the North Shore, waving signs saying, Obama sucks, and here's why,
mm-hmm.
and then explaining it. But they're not.
But they're busy paying homage to one another and to a God that they've never defined.
Yeah.
And who's in everybody's bedroom, and this God is everywhere.
Well,
when they put him in everybody's bedroom,
right.
then I think to myself, even, you know, something's wrong with that picture.
Well, and if you follow the money in campaign politics, next year that God's initials will probably be LL.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway,
And Linda Lingle. Okay, well, thank you, Eric. And anytime.
Thanks for having me.
I hope that people take this food for thought. I don't care what the issues are, but hopefully it helps folks, and we get closer to making decisions.
Thank you. And I apologize for any cynicism that my comments may have created among your listeners.
That's okay. I'm already an auditor. I was trying to pick which pineapple field you're going to end. Okay, well, thank you.
I'll be there.
I appreciate you. Okay.